Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid.
The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own, and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the community-wide share conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
This is a song that I really hope that you all sing at the event. This was one of my favorite songs, you know, growing up, man. I mean, this was just a great song.
It's on the list. It's on the list.
Right there, that song right there, and it's a happy
yes.
story too. You know,
that is a beautiful song about love. It's just written so beautifully. You know, I go back and I was a teenager myself when that came out, and I jumped on it with my teenage group. So one of the things,
yeah,
about,
and this was the song,
Gavin Huff music. Mm-hmm. Is basically his message music, if you really listen. When you listen to songs like United,
yes.
Together, you know, when you talk about Save the Children, they did all of the love songs, I Want to Know Your Name, Sad Girl, you know, and on, these are message music, message music.
Oh, wow, they did Sad Girl? Oh, my.
Yes, sir.
Sad
yes.
Girl came out. Sad Girl, that was done by, who's the guy that did that?
Yes. Jay Wiggins did it in 1968, and the Intruders covered that in 1969-70.
Oh, okay. All right.
And they have
now,
a great,
wasn't
great
there a Spanish
version.
Guy that did that? Wasn't there a Spanish guy that did that song, too?
That was, Together was done by the, what's that Spanish?
Oh, I mean Sad Girl. Pierre.
Yeah, out of California, they got a big hit out of it. Yes,
two brothers.
Yeah, they got a big. In fact, we was on a show with them in Arizona.
Yeah, a couple months ago.
But in history, the Intruders' music has always been loved by the Hispanic community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I mean, the Hispanic community, the African American community, man. You know, like I know in New York, we were side by side with the Spanish community. You know, it was side by side type of thing, man. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And truly, really, would you believe this? And we can touch about it. When we go to California, would you believe the Spanish community, the Latino community, do you know the kids be singing the songs, our songs, while we're on the stage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
beautiful.
They love it.
They could be 25-year-olds. Beautiful. You know, so they probably got it from parents or grandparents that keep continuing to play that music, and it just transfers from generation to generation.
And again, it is from the days of you know, doo-wop and R&B, but I think it's the harmony that really catches, you know, people, because that's not being done a lot today, because most of the times, you know, with the artists of today, everybody is a single artist, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say everybody, but a lot of them are single artists, and then they just have background singers, as opposed to a group that comes together with that kind of discipline that we were talking about, and that education and that consciousness to say, well, look, we're going to tell a story, but we're going to tell a positive story.
Yes, mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah, you. I guess in the 80s, the solo artists like Lionel Richie or Prince, Michael Jackson, you know, they would come out and they have their background singers. And I guess record companies felt that it was cost effective to have a solo artist and bring just hire his singers.
It's always been that way. In order to when you're signing artists. It's always better to sign one person than it is to sign three or four people. It's cost-effective, like Dean says, you know. This has been going on for the longest time. And even when you look into the rap community, the same thing, you know. The rapper has his whole entourage that he pays. You know, the company is not responsible for all of the hanger-ons, you know. That's why a lot of these guys go broke, because they got their overhead is too much, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Who was that?
Well said. Well said.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's well said. That's well said, you know. I do a show on Tuesdays, and it's called Why Muslim Americans Don't Want to Get Married. And I just found out that you all did a song about marriage, and I'm going to let people hear it first. I want them to know that this is the song that you will be going to be hearing on our Tuesday morning program, because we are encouraging Muslim Americans to get married. We have so many single people that we're going to encourage. This is an encouraging song.
There it is.
Darling,
singing that one.
Singing that one.
When we get married, we'll have a big celebration, send invitation to all our friends and relations. We'll have a ball.
One of the things that I really, really, really appreciate, you know, and actually as being a performer myself, one of the what I really appreciate about group participation, especially as far as the music is concerned, is that rather than, you know, just be one person, have one person's energy on the stage by itself, that you have a group energy on the stage. And so it's not like you're just, you know, watching just one person, but you're watching a group. And to see that group come together and harmonize, to see that group come together, do y'all actually do steps? Y'all do steps too?
Absolutely.
Well,
we have our own stage show from the time we come on stage.
Oh, man.
To the time we leave. You know, it's all that's what we learned, you know, as from the Doo-Woppers and from the Temptations and Chi Lights and all the groups, Delphonics, just a combination of all those great steps and arrangements that put into their live stage performance. So we, although we're a little older than some of us who are in their 70s, late 60s, we still have
total routine.
Yeah.
And even when you look at even the actors today, they even have a routine. A lot of these single singers, they use dancers behind them. They participate in the dancing along with them. I believe it's an integral part of the presentation of music when you're doing that. You have to have the whole package.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very well said. Very good and very well said. And I think that's what actually makes the show entertaining, you know,
that's
when you have that whole package like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's what you're going to see, brothers and sisters, when you come out to this show at the Cultural Extravaganza Concert up in West Haven, Connecticut, next Saturday. This is what you're going to see. You're going to see a great presentation by the Philadelphia Intruders.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They will get a whole show. We'll be singing
the
all
whole show. So now, is this like, I mean, you said that you performed with, you know, like on some of the other groups, like the Temptations and the others?
Yes. We opened for the Temptations several times. We toured with the Twilight for a couple of years. Marshall Thompson is there in Vegas now. We performed with Delphonics over the years, Blue Magic.
The list goes on and on. Dramatics, you know, Enchantment. Holly Woodson. My man.
Yes.
God bless his soul, he's gone. Dennis Edwards. We work with all of the big guys we've worked with, you know, we've had the opportunity to work with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful thing, man. You know, like you know, to come together. And just listen, I asked Sawad El Amin, could I be on the show? I really did, because when I saw this lineup, I was like, yo, I've got to be on this show. And so,
okay.
So you know, I'm going to come on with the hip hop. I'm going to come on with hip hop. I did a song in the Muslim community called Birds of a Feather, which was interesting, because what I did was I used popular music as the background music, and then I spit the lyrics over the popular music of today. So it's the lyrics are, you know, the lyrics from back in the day, but, you know, like all I did was change the music in the background, and it works.
I had to be
on this show. I had to, man, because this is a great show.
That's a good
thing. You're hearing your song, Birds of a Feather.
I think that even all of the hip hop or rap artists, they do good things. You know, I think the main thing about rap music is the content. Because the music is universal, you know, and if you're doing some of the older music that people know the lyrics to, and you get good lyrics to it rap-wise, it's just a song to me, you know, it can be successful, you know. It's just the lyrical content, and a lot of this music is what certain things are straight, you know. I was with my mechanic yesterday, who was Hispanic, and he had his Hispanic music on. And I had to remind them, you know, the music is universal. It's all about the music. I've been places where people didn't even speak English, but they understand the music. because music is a universal language.
Absolutely.
Message in the music.
Yes, yes. Hey, you know, we want to give a shout out to our Elamine, you know, the lady who is producing this. And she's so talented, you know, in her thinking and her production, but her voice is golden. A beautiful voice, and I had the privilege of purchasing two of her CDs, and I'm really enjoying, you know, her music. I hope she has some of her music, that, you know, to be shared, you know, with some of the people who will be attending. That's a real treat to hear Elamine.
Alhamdulillah, yes, Suad Elamine, yeah, we go way back. As a matter of fact, we used to travel together. Suad Elamine, when she was with the group Shahada, she was with the group called Shahada. There was three of them, and you know she ventured off and she became a single artist. But we used to travel all over the country promoting the message of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and that's how I came to know her. Wali Ali, Suad Elamine, Shahada, and a lot of other groups, man. You know. That went back in the days. And then this is another song that I'm really hoping that you will perform at the event. This is probably going to be a crowd pleaser because.
Yes. That's the song. In fact, I'm going to tell you a little story about this.
Another, but the intruders, they would be in there, and they were just putting the song together, and Kenny just walked by. They just walked by, you know. Oh, what they putting there? And all you hear was "Always Love My Mama." After about 4 months, they start really putting it together and putting the lyrics together. Kenny stopped and said, "I better get in on this. I better produce this. I ain't gonna miss this." And that's what happened. That's a true story.
Yeah, it was originally McFadden and Whitehead.
Yeah,
had taken it, and intruders were trying to get it together. But as Leroy says, when Kenny Gamble really heard it, you know, he put his effort and his capital into it.
Footprint
on it, and here we are, 50 years later. That song is still being heard. Played all day around the world, and especially around Mother's Day, and we do that song every time. It's like the Temptations; they have to do "My Girl." We do "I'll Always Love My Mama" on every show.
You did mention a couple of writers who were going to get it. And there was Gambling Huff, and you said there was a couple of other writers. What was the name?
McFadden, Whitehead. They wrote Ain't No Stopping Us Now.
Yeah.
A lot of songs with the OJs.
Charlie Boy Simmons,
a lot of Charlie Boy Simmons wrote for the Intruders, but he also wrote for the Spinners. Great writers, Gambling Huff, that they had, you know, at that time. The writing machine.
And all of them was from Philadelphia. That was the Philadelphia sound.
Philadelphia sound. All the artists are from Philadelphia. Bunny Sigler, he was there.
You are my friend back, Bunny Sigler, for Patti Bell. That's that. In fact, it's been said, Gambling Huff record is played every 13.5 minutes somewhere around the world, every day. Every day, the sound of Philadelphia, one of those songs, somewhere in the world.
That's great. Wonderful. That's great. Yeah, yeah. All right, so look, you know, we're looking forward to definitely being with you all up in Philadelphia. I mean, up in West Haven, Connecticut, Philadelphia
yes.
Intruders. We're looking forward to that. Well, this is another question I really have to ask you. And I'm asking this question because I see a transition from the way that things were done to the way that they're being done today. I see artists just coming on stage, you know, like with their street clothes. What is the significance of costuming or, you know, stage wardrobe? Why is that important? And why was it important at that time? Why is it important a part of your show?
The thing is, it's all part of presentation. If you don't have a good presentation, listen, you can sound like doo-doo. But if you have a good presentation, a good look, and your music is good, people will love you. So that's why it's important to have a good look when you go on stage.
Yes.
Village Intruders, we go on stage uniformed. We perform uniformly. And everything's in order. And that's what makes a good presentation, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I personally, this is Dean speaking, I don't understand the artist that's going out there looking less than they should be. Now, maybe it's a cultural thing. I'm not going to say even hip-hop, but it's something happened over the last 30 years, 80 years, that has changed it. Even some of the younger groups, New Edition, Boys and Men, you know, they haven't been able to continue that, even though they come out direct. I don't understand it, and we don't approve of that, you know, of that. But to each his own, the public, I guess they love them like that.
I think it's more of a young cultural statement that I can be and do what I want to do, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question.
I say that because one performer that I really remember as far as having a wardrobe, I mean, he just had a crazy wardrobe with all these sparkles in it. It was like, really be all that? Was Marvin Gaye. He used to have all these sparkles on it. It's like, really, Marvin? Really? I guess that was, you know, part of, you know, the like you said, the presence, you know, of the presentation, you know, that, you know, you don't want to look like you just, you know, in your street clothes. So, you know, like you wear these sparkly gang outfits, you know, to say, hey, this is not me. This is the performer, Marvin Gaye. This is not Marvin Gaye, the guy that you go pass on the street.
Yeah. You'll see a lot of that. But, you know, I think it's just in that that genre is where that type of dress down type of presentation is accepted.
Yeah, that's what
you're going to say. Fire. They continue to, you know, meticulously, and then, you know, they've weathered.
But their outfits,
you think about the Funkadelic. Now look at these guys. That they came out and they was absolutely wild, man, because they had a certain way that they did it. You know, they didn't have outfits. The guy would go to the hotel room and take the pillowcase off the pillow and put it on his butt, and that was his outfit. So, you know, it's what works for you, I guess.
Yeah, to let you know, man, this is not real. This is not real. This is a show. This is part of the show.
Yeah.
I hope you take notice. But see, that's what I'm saying, that, you know, like, the visual that the audience experiences, you know, from the, and it's like you said, if the music is good, if the music sounds good, and, you know, the discipline is there, that presentation, it just adds something else for the eye to look at.
It's deceptive, you know, based on the type of music that you present, you know. And if you're doing take your group off some other, I guess you can use a pillow, I guess.
Hey, but don't slip on that guy, because that guy was one of the greatest Temptations based singers at one point too. He took Melvin's place after Melvin passed away.
So that guy was good. He's got a great voice. Yes, he does.
Yeah, the Temptations. They had this new group that the Temptations had. They put out a CD that was really stupendous, and I was you know, pleasantly surprised to see that they had, you know, was able to. Not only had the old hits, but they were able to, you know, come up with something that was new and popular also. And you said that y'all have performed together. You performed with this new group, the Temptations. Is that right?
No, not the newest one. No.
Terry's one of the newest guys. We've worked with him. But, you know, Otis has a whole new lineup now. And I believe that when him and Ron hangs it up, they're going to hand it over to Terry, and Terry will go along with maybe the two newest guys they got, put a couple new guys in. But Terry is one of the guys that we did have an opportunity to work with down in Baltimore a few years back. Great gentleman, you know. And I can see him carrying on the Intruders' legacy. I mean, not the Intruders, but Temptations' legacy well after Otis and Ron hangs it up, you know.
So let me understand this, because you're really giving us an education. As long as one of the original members of the group is alive and performing, then you can actually use the original name?
Yes. But it doesn't happen all the time, as in, i.e., Intruders. You have all these different groups out there. They don't have no trademarks, no nothing, and they just go out and they sell themselves as Intruders, and people buy it, you know. So, you know, what are you going to do? And then even they split up, and you might have a set of blue spots, the blues over here, and you got another set, same name over there. They may have one original member, and they reformed their groups. The public, they don't know. They're buying the lead singer, and the lead singer may not be
original lead singer. Did you know that the Intruders, there was two Intruders way back in the day? When one of the Intruders,
when you say way
there,
back then, we can't.
Yeah, one of the brothers went to jail.
We can't,
and when he came out, he started his computer, and his brother had his computer. That was years ago.
Are we talking about,
you know, these things do happen. Yeah.
Are we talking about before the 60s?
That computer, I believe, was in the 80s. Red Dot Fusion. Yeah, Red Dot,
okay.
Yeah, Bird Dot.
Separate
versions of the same group. Yeah, it was in the 80s. Yeah. The original intruders, they stopped changing them in 1976. The first original four. And then in 1984, they started singing again as various variations of the intruders.
Yeah.
But that gives you an inkling of how popular this music is, that it survives all of this time, that people still enjoy our music.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I always look at music as a structural concept. That's the way that I kind of look at it. So when I'm very critical, unfortunately, of artists, especially hip-hop artists, because that's the genre that I'm part of. But in order to be a harmonizing group, in order to be that kind of group, you really have to, like you said, you really have the discipline, you really have to have your voice together, and you have to put your ego aside and join in together in order to get that one sound. And I think that's what people enjoy. That's what people enjoy, seeing that, hearing that come together, seeing and hearing that come together, and they that people find that entertaining.
You are now in the host queue.
And Kareem, as you say, you know, you have to put your ego to the side to make this happen. Fortunately, in Shooters, we have four great lead singers. But Little Sonny was the lead singer of the original Intruders.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our own Little Sonny. And so we'll get a chance to sing, but we put our egos to the side to make this win and to honor Little Sonny, Big Sonny, Phil and Bird.
It's one of the reasons why we feature Mr. Corey Wilms as with Philly's Intruders. He's an integral part of what we're doing. And our representation of Little Sonny, which he brings to the table very, very effectively. You know, we're proud to have Corey Wilms, and we're proud to be able to feature him within our identification as our main lead singer.
Yes. So we got a couple of minutes left. Would you like to take a telephone call from one of the listeners?
Sure thing.
Okay, so we're going to open up a telephone line. This here is 727-741. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
This is Martha Nyla Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida. And listening in, we'll have American Muslim 360 connected. And anyone on American Muslim 360, if you want to ask a question of the group that William Kareem is presenting this morning, please press 1 on your phone. Someone had pressed 1. As well, but they think they went back out of the queue. But my question is in reference to the social media. I don't know. Would it degrade some of the uniqueness of what you're presenting and how you want to present what you do, or do you see or do you use the social media to put clips of what you do there for others?
Absolutely. We're very big on social media. We have our own Facebook page, Philly's Intruders. You can look us up there. Like to see you join us. We use Instagram, and we have several performances on YouTube.
Okay, great. Then that will when I mentioned American Muslim 360, we're trying to integrate, is that the right word, William? Integrate or utilize the various avenues to promote and show the unification, as well as the importance of what individuals are doing and groups are doing throughout, and definitely
yes.
with the cultural arena. So, alhamdulillah. Thank you so
yes.
very much. As-salamu
alaykum. Well, social media to us is like free advertisement.
I hear
so
you.
We use it. Yes, we use it very much. As a matter of fact, our youngest member, he's our social media guy. And you know how the younger folks are more up to this thing than us older folks. So we leave it up to him, and he keeps us flattered on all forms of social media. Yes.
Well, we want to thank you for taking the time to really come on and speak with us here on the New Day Community Radio. To do this interview.
Thank you for having us.
And you know, hopefully, yeah, and we look forward to being with you up in West Haven, Connecticut next Saturday. Next Saturday from 4 p.m.
Well,
to 8 p.m.
We're in the house.
That's right. So make sure that you come up, man, you know, and enjoy, you know, the Philadelphia Intruders. It's going to be a great show. I'm looking forward to being with you guys. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Okay, William.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, brother.
Please. I'm late. Have a great day, my friend.
Yes.
Well,
all right.
You also. All right.
Okay.
All
care.
Right. That was great. That was great.
Thank you.
So now this is you're welcome, brother.
Yes.
So we're going to transfer over to the next segment of the program. And it is quick hitters time. And this here is a program that we're going to be, will come on. This program, Quick Hitters, will be on weekly. It'll feature myself and Cabell Equan, who happens to be my son. And, you know, he works in entertainment and other things. What I want to do is I'm going to start it off by playing the Hitters anthem.
The way he laid a flame is inspirational. We had us ready for
Okay, yeah, so that's the very beginning. It wasn't supposed to play that long, but I played it that long because I was trying to actually get into the queue. Belle, if you're in the queue, press 1 on your phone so I can bring you in.
You are now off
phone,
the host queue.
And then I can bring you into the queue. Let me see. Well, let me just do this here. I was trying to actually get to Quick Hitters because there's an introduction that we're supposed to be doing, and If I go to my Google, there we go. That's how we do it. I think that's how we do it. In my app. Just give me one moment. Get this copy of the music. This. Nope, I couldn't get into it like that. So, Cavell, if you're on the phone, press 1 on your phone so I can bring you into the queue. There you go. Cavell, that's you?
I'm in the queue.
Mel? Okay, yeah. Well, your microphone is open. Yeah, I can hear you. I'm having a little problem. I'm bringing up the welcome, the welcome page. Can you, do you have the welcome page open?
So, I'm glad that I'm able to jump in. You know, thank you to everybody, who has been on the show already. Was definitely official listening to the interview with the Philadelphia Intruders. Incredible stuff. I appreciate you bringing me into the American Muslim 360 and a new day for a New Day Community Radio. I'm glad to be here, and so, we're going to kind of do something a little bit different, but rock this thing out with the Quick Hitters Experience. It was founded by me in 2014, and it's a company that provides hip-hop experiences to all ages. I've worked within the community, and particularly in youth development programs and education for over 25 years with all age ranges from pre-K up into the college ranks, and we've been able to produce a number of hip-hop-based projects, including the Great Squad project, which was a 10-song project we did at the middle school when we began in 2015 inside the school buildings, working with some of the community-based organizations. This community-based organization was the Aspira, a community-based organization, and we were very thankful to work with them, where we actually met Kwesi Haynes. Kwesi Haynes is one of the partners that is involved with the Quick Hitters Experience. He has been a director of programs, community-based programs, for a number of years, and he has a space here in Harlem. If you guys ever need space for an event or you're involved in something that may need, say, like a repass, or just because you want to have a celebration, the space is called Suite 116. It's located at 114 West 116th Street, right in Harlem. So great space, great place, and it's actually located right next to the mosque, the Malcolm Shabazz Mosque, on 116th Street, so historical in that way as well. We also brought in 2016 Rashida Garcia. Rashida Garcia is a MSE, a Master's in Special Education and Development, a 7th through 12th grade ELA, professional certificated, a teacher, and also was a director of a community-based program. So, we've had an opportunity, and myself as a owner of this business, to really figure out some ways that we could bring some incredible programming to young people that come from the hip-hop culture, and we utilize those particular things. They're called the five components of hip-hop, which are MCing, DJing, graffiti, and breakdancing, along with knowledge. And each one of these components we try to make sure we touch on as we work with young people. In 2019, we ran a camp at the suite on 116th Street, 114 West 116th Street, which was tremendous, with youth from the ages of 7 to 12. And they created a 10-song project, which we have up on YouTube, TikTok, and also SoundCloud, where all the projects can be heard. Incredible stuff from these young people. And hopefully we'll get a chance to let you hear some of that, and you can connect with us on the social media. Over the last year or maybe 5 months, we've been in a position to gather some great contracts and work with some wonderful organizations, big organizations here in the city. The Jewish Community Coalition of Greater Coney Island, we've worked with them for the last, I'd say, year and a half, running program out of a school called Rachel Carson. Rachel Carson High School, which has been a wonderful collaboration. Last summer, we worked with the Boys Club at an experience that happened in Harriman Park up near the Rockland County area, where we stayed for periods of 2 weeks and did a DJ program with the young people up there, along with the rap album creation, which was hosted also by my brother Kareem's other son, Bill Blass. We were both up there, and we were able to do an incredible project, which we have also available for people to see on social media. And Blass is also actually up there this year doing what he's doing with the young people around the music. So we've been blessed to have all of these experiences. And recently, along with Brother Kareem, myself, and my partner, Quasi Haynes, were able to go to the Girls Inc. conference this year, annual conference they have, and we were able to really do some good work with some young women around bridging the gender gap in terms of the society we live in. And so they were able to utilize our program, the Quick Hitters Experience, to create a song called We Building a Bridge Together. And they actually performed in front of the conference for 300 people. It was a really incredible experience. And again, Quick Hitters is really thankful to be a part of what's happening with the community radio here at A New Day. So thank you to you. And, you know, we just wanted to give you a brief introduction of kind of who we are and what we do.
Very good, son. Very good. Very well done, I must say.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I have good support.
I'm really laughing. So look, I have everything pulled up to keep it personal, unapologetically our music, you dance, and art is not a crime, and art is not a crime. So these are some of the ideas that we're going to hit on. So how would you like to proceed right now? Are we going to go into take it personal, or are we going to do something with
Let me tell you guys a little bit about how we're going to run this act, how we kind of have this formatted. So there's a welcome. There's a number of segments, and there are six segments. These segments are quick hits. In quick hits, we will give you a brief description of an artist who has a song that is out today, very new. And the reason why we do that is because a big part of why we want to bring this show to the forefront and put it on this platform and work in terms of this community is because we know that young people are in a different space musically and experience, and they need guidance. That guidance comes from the older folks. Older folks giving these young people information helps them to move faster amongst younger people. So the more they listen to what we have to share with them, it is an opportunity for them to move quicker in thought and in applying that thought to being able to move along in the world and deal with certain challenges. But also in reverse, it is important that the young people share stuff with us as older people so that we can then move faster amongst our generation and older generations, because they're bringing us new and fresh information that can help us understand what is going on today and move us along a little faster amongst our group. And so this transition of information, this back and forth of information, is one of the reasons we have this segment, Quick Hits. So that if in case you were to run across some of this music or some of these names, we're able to recognize them and then engage with younger people or other individuals to have a conversation. Where that conversation can go is into all kinds of directions, which will give us at least the ability to have the conversation. And that's what we want to do here on this show, is really bring information that will help us have a conversation amongst the younger and the older population and begin to connect in a different way. So Quick Hits is going to start off by hitting you with this first artist whose original given name is Cymer Woods is better known to the population as Little Uzi Vert. He's an American rapper and singer and songwriter, and he was born and raised in Philadelphia. Initially, he started around 2015, but in 2016 is when he started to make more noise. Some of his songs came off an album called Little Uzi Vert Versus the World. One of them was called You Was Right. He then released another mixtape and then got signed to a Southern company that was run by an artist called Gucci Mane. And his first real hit came with the Migos. I don't know if you remember the Migos, Pop. Remember Migos?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So the Migos guys had a song that they actually blew up from called Bad and Bougie. And Uzi was on that song, and that song was huge. And so it really took him as an artist to another level. In a little later that year, he dropped a song called XO Tour Life, and that song became the first top 10 single that he had on the Billboard 100 that really pushed him out into the mainstream. Right now, he has a song out that is called Just Wanna Rock, and this song is an internet sensation. TikTok dances all over the place. He's performing at these gigantic festivals like Dreamville and Rock the Bells and Loud, the Rolling Loud tours. These are festival tours where he's performing in front of 50, 60, 70,000 people. And this guy's influence over the culture is huge. So we're going to play the song for you. If you heard your grandkids listening to it or your children, or maybe you've been walking by a car or maybe even on your phone, this joint is called Just Wanna Rock. Check it out. Lil Uzi Vert. Right here.
I just wanna rock. Body of the yacht.
This ain't what you want. Ha! 60 on the block. I just wanna rock. I just wanna rock. Body out of ya. Shorty got that body out of ya. Hit it once, no time. Shut up, fuck, you gon' kill my vibe. Stand on my money, don't know my size. Pick them sides. And you better choose wisely. That's my high. 1, 2, 3, 4, so I'll do fives. That's my heart. Damn! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And
C,
make another
hit.
This ain't what you want.
Project,
this ain't what you want. This ain't what you want. This ain't what you want.
And that is Lil Uzi. And what's the name of that song, Val?
So the name of that song is Just Wanna Rock.
Okay.
So what you think, Pop?
Well, I'll tell you, we could say, no, I haven't heard that one. But I will tell
you,
we had the Philadelphia Intruders on, and it's a, you know, the way that the technology is just a little different from the technology that is being used by the Philadelphia Intruders. That whole structure was a whole lot different, because this is, you could hear the various samples that was in the background. And, you know, this is an idiot, little Uzi. He performs by himself, but he probably has background dancers and things like that. But, you know, this is what the culture is right now. Now, is this the clean version that you were talking? Is this a clean version of the song?
So the thing is, what's wonderful about this song, and I think that, you know, when you talk about the Philadelphia Intruders and you talk about this wave of artists today, this particular song doesn't really have that many words, as you heard, right? It doesn't have a clean or another version because it's really not a song that has many words. It's literally, I just want to rap. Body, yada, yada. Yada, yada, da, da. It's more this flow kind of music. And there was a discussion that I've had with some other, you know, people who are in the, as particularly in the rhyming stage of hip-hop, the rhyming section component, and how it is that we have different kinds of MCs today. This guy, to me, Little Uzi, has developed himself into like a vibe or a flow kind of MC, like an energy MC, where the music and the chorus, the repetition of the chorus have become the main thing. It's the dance associated with the music that become popular. You know what I'm saying?
So would you call this, hip-hop?
Oh, it's definitely hip-hop. Right, because again, it has the structural pieces in it that make it hip hop. Right, you know, it has the beat, it has the samples, has the rhyming, it has the chorus. It utilizes dances that are in the culture. So yes, it, of course it's hip hop, but it's something more closer to hip hop, more like pop music rather than a gritty underground kind of sound that came out of New York in the beginning.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know that you're listening to Quick Hitters. This is a new segment that's going to be playing on A New Day for Al Islam Community Radio every Saturday from 10 to 1. We have with us Cavell Equan, the CEO and producer of Quick Hitters. And it has, Cavell has been developing this program, and this program has really hit. He's working with a lot of organizations to bring this message to the community. So what's next, Cavell? What are we doing next? Take It Personal. Over the next year, the younger generation of Southern and Midwestern hip-hop musicians who have grown up with a passion for a rich sound of full band recording.
No, we're not doing that. No, we're not doing that. We're doing unapologetic music. Let's go. So,
Kendrick Lamar, Death Word.
So here we go. Let me just say this. The first guy we introduced you to, Little Uzi Vert, and the reason why, and I just want to bring this back, there are Quick Hitters is the Quick Hitters experience. This is an experience. We try to make sure we give you an experience that you can take something away from, learn something from, and have a new and exciting feel for something that is out here. And the first guy, Little Uzi Vert, he's very much, like I said, a guy who is hip-hop, very out there. He goes to these fashion shows, you know, like Louis Vuitton fashion shows, and he's on yachts with Jay-Z, and he's at these conferences at the Met Gala. Like, he's one of those people that is in that echelon of artists that is a part of this group that people knows has an influence over our kids. When we think about unapologetically, though, we want to think about somebody that, for me, I'm just speaking for me, and as we go further along and people want to participate, you can also make suggestions, send in stuff to Brother Kareem so that we can go ahead and spotlight artists you think are making this level of contribution. But then unapologetically, this is about someone I think, we think, is making an impact in a much more artistic way, not really about being popular, but more about the content of the art itself, and that goes back to what hip-hop is really about. And this guy, to us, to me, Kendrick Lamar, does that. And so, you know, Kendrick Lamar, if you don't know, is a West Coast artist. He's come from California. He was born in Compton, California, and he used to go by the name K-Dot. He signed to a group called Top Dog Entertainment and began to release some music underneath a group called Black Hippie. They started out in 2011, and he released a single solo album that was called Section 80, and it was received very well. He then got an opportunity to sign a deal with Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre from the fame of Snoop Dogg and Suge Knight and Death Row, N.W.A., and known for being a massive producer, Kendrick Lamar signed to his label called Aftermath and then released his debut album, Good Kid, Mad City, which was received incredibly all across the country, and he had an opportunity to then take that album and turn it into a number of Billboard 200 singles, which appeared, say, in 2015 first, but he has continued to drop songs. And this song you're about to hear was from his last project he dropped called Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, which was released last year, 2022. In this, he really talks about a lot of personal journeys, and he decided to go into some different areas. So it's going to be an interesting listen. Check it out with us. This right here is called Count Me Out from Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, Kendrick Lamar. Let's go.
We may not know which way to go on this dark road.
Mr. Duckworth.
All of me make it difficult.
Session 10. Breakthrough.
One of these lies, I'ma make these right with the wrongs I done. That's when I unite with the father, son, till then I fight. Rain on me, put the blame on me, got guilt, got hurt, got shame on me. Got six magazines that's aimed at me, done every magazine was fame to me. It's a game to me with the bedroom at. Sleep, I ain't never had affairs with that. What's fair when the hearts and the words don't reach? What's fair when the money don't take things back? It's rare when somebody take your dreams back. I care too much, wanna share too much, in my head too much. I shut down too, I ain't there too much. I'm a complex soul, they layered me up, then broke me down. And morality's dust, I lack and trust. This time around I trust myself, please everybody else but myself. All else fails, I was myself. Outdone fear, outdone myself. This year you better win yourself. Mask on the babies, mask on the hotwear, mask in the neighborhood stores you shop. But a mask won't hide who you are inside. Look around, the reality's carved in lies. Wipe my ego, dodge my pride. Look myself in the mirror, Amityville ain't seen nothing scarier. I fought like a pit bull terrier. Blood I shed could fill up aquariums. Tell all my angels carry them. Every emotion been deprived, even my strong points couldn't survive. If I didn't learn to love myself, forgive myself 100 times, dog. I love when you count me out, I love when you count me out, I love when you count me out, I love when you count me out. How you gonna win my trust when the lies run deep? How you gonna bend your love when the bad don't sleep? Deep beat, crash up, feelings in the middle of the street. When you was at your lowest, tell me where the was at. When you was at your lowest, tell me where the rose was at. 3:30 in the morning, scroll through the call off. Ain't nobody but the mirror looking for the fall off. I love when you count me out. I love when you count me out. I love when you count me out. Let me tell you about the woman I know.
That's my baby.
I know karma like to follow her strong. I know meanness that feel alone. Anytime I couldn't find God, I still could find myself through a song. Many find their life in the phone. You said I feel better if I just worked hard without lifting my head up. That left me fed up. You made me worry. I wanted my best version, but you ignored me. Then changed the story. Then change the story.
Good energy in a room, drop the location, please. Anybody
anybody out here for the one when I'm frustrated? Trying to keep my good conscience in rotation. Thoughts in my head, they living there with no.
Trying to keep my good.
I made a decision. Never give you my feelings. What you from? What you from with this? I put it on the devil when they fall short. I put it on my ego for the fall lost. Sometimes I fall for. I love when you count me out. 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 My name is in your mouth. Sure, sure. Miss regrets, I believe that you don't need me. Miss regrets, can you please exit out my own? Miss regret, I think I'm better off alone. I got the deep regret. Some things I can't forget. Lord knows I tried my best. You said it's not my best. I came about my flesh. Some things I must confess. Spoke my truth, paid my debt. Can't you see I'm a wreck? Let me loose, I digress. This is me, and I'm blessed. 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 Anybody fighting through the stress? Anybody fighting through the...
Oh, yes, sir.
Come on. Woo, Pop, what you think, man? Talk to me.
Well, I tell you, it's very interesting. There was definitely a message in the music. I heard some real good harmonies that actually went in with this, this creative piece. Also, one thing that I really did take notice of is that the beat was slow, but the words were rapidly expressed. You know? So it was a slow beat with rapid rap, and he kind of switched it up. So it would be rapid rap, and then he would go slow, and rapid rap, and then go slow. But there was definitely a message. I could definitely listen to this. This was, you know, something that we could listen to. But this is what the young people are being influenced by today. Is that right?
Well, the thing is that there's, again, this contrast, and that's why we wanted to kind of bring this show to the table on this particular platform, right, is that the message, the narrative around hip-hop is that hip-hop is this terrible thing that is influencing young people to do all these horrible things, when in actuality it is balanced as any other thing that exists in the world. There is an advantage that is being ignored in that narrative. And the advantage is you have young people who previously weren't going to be able to take care of their families, would not have been able to express themselves and deal with issues that were of concern to them if it had not been for the development of this hip-hop culture. And so someone like Uzi Vert can exist in hip-hop and affect people in some way, the same way that someone like Kendrick Lamar can exist in hip-hop and affect people in some way. And they both are affecting different audiences, yet in that process, they have affected the evolution of their own families, of their friends' families, and those who are around them who are tapping into the revenue that is assisting in creating this new black excellence, this new black wealth that we all often are talking about. It's coming from a space in hip-hop as well. And so we have to make sure we talk about that as, along with some of the challenges we face. We have to have a balanced narrative, and that's what we hope to do by bringing you artists and conversations that inspire that level of narrative control.
And it's, I also think that it's, you know, kind of important for the audience to understand that an artist usually expresses the circumstance and situation that they're actually living in, the circumstance that they are experiencing. That has always been the case. If you go back with Love Records, there were writers who were writing for the purpose of, you know, the romantic era of Marvin Gaye and Smokey Robinson. You know, those records were being those lyrics was actually being used to appeal to, you know, the culture that was happening at that time. Well, this is the question that I want to ask. Most of the time in this situation, Bell, you know, if we talk about like the Philadelphia Intruders or Marvin Gaye, Temptations, et cetera, et cetera, they had people that were writing for them. Is this still the same case today with these artists that they have writers who are writing their lyrics, or are these hip-hop artists actually writing their own lyrics?
Well, there is a – the bottom line for a real MC is going to be – and I think that this was for years and years the case that an MC was only original if they wrote their own material. Today, though, because these artists are large, the same way as you're discussing Marvin Gaye, The Temptations, The Supremes, you know, Tammy Terrell, when you think about all these people, you know, Aretha Franklin, and even moving up into today when you talk about singers, they don't have to pen their own lyrics as long as they're able to deliver the material in a believable fashion. And I think that has also become a reality for some MCs, with an example being Drake, who is one of the biggest MCs, if not the biggest hip-hop artist of today. He has come out and admitted, and people know, that he has a team of people who help to write. I'm not saying that he doesn't write, but what I am saying is that because of the need to fulfill the desire of the audience and to keep a particular sound in place, these people in the company who know that he will generate a certain amount of revenue are very keen on understanding that he needs to maintain a level that's expected of the audience. And so they include a team of people to make sure that that happens. Now, that doesn't happen with everyone, but when you're on that large of a stage, I can imagine there are so many things going on between interviews, performing in concert, traveling to different places for, you know, special appearances and such, that there may not be the same level of opportunity to write all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very good and very interesting to put it in that frame, because that's the reality of being a creative artist. That's just the reality of it. And that is something that has been consistent throughout the artistic endeavor in America. And it's not only for R&B, it's not only for gospel, but it's also for hip-hop also. I mean, you know, you would think that people that are actually artists in hip hop write their own lyrics, because I think that when hip hop began, that's how it was, that you know, hip hop artists wrote their own lyrics. But hip hop has expanded so much that it has become, you know, a business, and it's operating just like any other. Is operating just like any other part of music creation.
And without a question, this again is why, you know, we wanted to bring this show to the platform and have these conversations. I also work in education in New York City and am able to see the impact of our communities and how we parent, how we socialize, how we commune with one another. Affect the way in which young children and children in general are educated and interact with each other and also interact with authority in terms of adults. And it's not a thing that is just influenced by the fact that there's music out there. It's influenced by the connections. And the connection in my own personal experience when it comes to having to deal with the hip-hop culture and its influence over my own children and how it is that I, as an artist and someone who's grown up loving it, have to make sure that I balance it. It is that we have to make sure that there's a conversation happening from home that
the parent, myself, my wife, and those around me, including you, Pop, communicate with our children about the importance of legacy, traveling, and keeping what is important to us as they navigate through this world that is influenced heavily
in the
entertainment spaces
by
hip-hop culture. So with that being said, it is really a that's really why this show to me is very important, is because it gives us an opportunity to begin a conversation that can happen between us as a family unit and really begin to understand what they're going through and what they're hearing and how they're being influenced and being able to guide them through that process. Because it's not just about making music anymore. These things are leading to all types of opportunities. As you said, this is now 50 years. Big up to hip-hop on this year being the 50th year of hip-hop's inception.
No doubt.
And people who started in 1980 or 1980s are now still successful in 2023. And we can move on right to quick quotes, where we'll talk a little bit about that right now with MC Light. Right now, we're going to jump into quick quotes. And what quick quotes is just an opportunity for us to listen to a line, maybe two bars of a MC's rhyme, in order to get just a snapshot of how good they were at putting those words together. And our quick quote for today is one of the best MCs of her time and continues to be influential, MC Light. Let's go ahead and rock a little bit of MC's Light's quote right here on Quick Quotes.
You're new in town and you're looking around for another name to ruin, and it's me that you're pursuing.
Bring that back one more time.
You gotta bring it back.
Yeah, man.
You gotta bring
just
it back.
Just one more time, man.
Because
I'm just saying, you gotta
bring it
back. Looking around. Wait a minute. Okay, so you ready? Here we go.
Good.
Yeah. You're new in town and you're looking around for another name to ruin, and it's me that you're pursuing.
Well, I'll be damned. Yo, let me tell you something. MC Light, incredible. That was off of a joint that she had called Cha-Cha-Cha. You know what I mean? She had a joint called Paper Thin. She said, you're new in town and you're looking around for another word, another one to ruin, and it's me that you're pursuing? Yo.
Okay.
Incredible. And the reason why it was incredible is because of the flow. Right? The way the words were put together, but it's the flow. And this is why she became one of the better MCs who lasted in hip-hop. It's because of her delivery. She had a good voice. Her voice is nice in terms of its tone, but then she also understood how to have a flow. And this woman here, her name is Lena Mora. She was born in 1970. She has continued all throughout this time and has been now recognized as someone who has received a Lifetime Achievement Award, an I Am Hip Hop Lifetime Achievement Award from BET, and was honored on VH1 Hip Hop Honors. She's also received an award from Harvard, the W.E.B. Du Bois Medal of Honor, as a recognition of how much she's influenced the field of African and African American studies. She's also a voice actor, as well as someone who hosts multiple shows. You know, she's the person who, you know, when you go to break, she's giving you the breakdown of who will be coming up next, or introducing who's going to be at an award show or a ceremony. She's become a voice, and so she's found her way as well, from being an MC and being someone who was in the music industry as an artist, into other endeavors which have continued her opportunity to create revenue for herself and for her family and keep her relevant as she moves forward. Again, hip-hop at 50 has created so many people who are living in a stratosphere of Black excellence based on their contribution and work in the culture of hip-hop.
Yes, and So she's part of the Hip Hop at 50s MC Light. This is a weekly program that we're going to do called Quick Quotes. And moving on, then what's next? We got U-Dance?
Oh, man. Oh, we're going on the U-Dance. And the U-Dance, what we're going to be talking about, you know, and again, this show today is more about us trying to just let you know kind of what we'll be doing, letting you know what our segments will be and kind of how we'll move along. We want to celebrate hip-hop. We want to celebrate its ability to be implemented into the world. And hip-hop dance is one of those things that it has done. How has hip-hop influenced the dance world? Well, let me tell you. The hip-hop dance style was seen in the earlier days on shows like Soul Train and in movies in the early 80s like Breakin', Beat Street, and Wild Style. Wild Style is one of my favorites. Lee Quiñones, we'll talk a little bit more about that in Art is Crime. Art is Not a Crime, but these people developed an opportunity, man, to present hip-hop dance to the world, and in that, there have been so many, I want to say, breakout crews and breakout dances along with including it in environments where it would have never been. But, for instance, it spawned, hip-hop dances spawned shows like The Grind and Planet B-Boy, America's Best Dance Crew, movies like Step Up and movies like Rise. All of these movies have spotlighted hip-hop dance, but not only hip-hop dance from New York, but from other places around the country, like Philadelphia or Memphis or Texas, dances that have come from Atlanta, and they have all been added into the lexicon of hip-hop dances that, of course, include dances like the WAP or the Running Man, right, or the chicken noodle soup. These are all dances that, you know, have come along after things like breaking, where you would have things like up rocking, top rocking, windmills, backspins, popping, locking, freezing, all of these different kinds of things that were in the breaking field, but then were continued to add on in terms of hip-hop dance by adding in things like the Roger Rabbit or doing the Stanky Leg or doing the Dougie, right? All of these things became a part of it. And today, when you look at these dance shows, they oftentimes will have artists who dance in a particular genre, contemporary, modern, jazz, tap, and the competition will push them outside of their lanes, and inevitably they touch that hip-hop lane. And if they can't do that hip-hop lane, no matter how incredible they are in other lanes, it causes an issue. And the same thing is true if you're a dancer, and then you have to go into one of those other lanes, it's a challenge. But it has become a staple of being a professional dancer if you're a person who's going to be on shows or you're going to be out touring, you have to have hip-hop dance as a part of your lexicon.
You know, this is, hip-hop dance is a continuation of dance in the cultural community. There was a dance that was back in the 60s that was called the Twist. And the Twist became very popular. I mean, it was a crossover dance, actually, because they had everybody all over America actually doing the Twist. But in the cultural neighborhood, especially in the African-American neighborhood, they had a dance called the Monkey. As a matter of fact, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles did a song called, you know, Monkey Time. Everybody was doing the Monkey Time, and then they had a dance that was called the Swim. Then they had a dance called the Dog, you know. So it's just a continuation. What is interesting that has happened is that the technology has basically moved the dance. Has helped to move the dance along.
It's been great because what you see, and again, coming back to what we introduced in the very beginning, the five components of hip-hop are DJing, MCing, b-boying, graffiti, and knowledge. And the thing is that when we introduced you to Lil Uzi Vert and played Just Wanna Rock, one of the things I mentioned to you guys is that this song is actually on TikTok, one of the dance songs that is huge. What it was is that there's a dance craze that was in Philadelphia that Lil Uzi Vert was able to tap into. These young people taught him how to do their dance, and then he created this song and used the dance. And so now all over TikTok and different social media platforms, there were just kids doing it to this song. And so it became huge because of TikTok and these people recreating dances and using the music. And so it's a part of the culture. I think, like you said, going back to the twist, the mashed potato, you know what I'm saying? You know, these dances,
yeah,
man, were dances that, you know, they were culturally connecting. You know, even doing the butt, when people used to do the butt bump. You know what I mean? Like, you give me a dance and you hit your bum.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you knew what you was going to do, and there were certain songs that motivated you to do that. You know what I'm saying? And it is the same today in terms of this music. No doubt hip-hop has been truly impactful in the world of dance. And speaking of that, I'm sure if any of you watch any of these shows like I do, like So You Think You Can Dance, World of Dance, Dancing with the Stars, you know, all of these shows that come on and these people are dancing, you will see the hip-hop influence in those shows. Let's move on along and go on to Art Is Not a Crime.
Hold on. Let me just make this statement that it doesn't, that hip-hop dancing is another genre in the world of dance. It has not replaced ballet. It has not replaced modern dance. It has not replaced the Hispanic dance forms, you know, disco dance. It hasn't replaced them. It is just another genre of dance.
And of course.
Because the other dance forms, like ballet and all the rest of them, they are still, you know, thriving also. But this is just, the popular, the new dance in the popular culture. Go ahead, Doc.
Well, no, I mean, but think about that in anything, right? I mean, rhythm and blues, at one time, rhythm and blues dominated the world of music, right? There was a time where, you know, rock music dominated the world of music. Jazz music dominated the world, right? Classical music dominated the world. It's hip-hop's time. It's hip-hop's time. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's hip-hop's time. And that's what it's doing. It's dominating for now. What will come next, we don't know.
Right.
But what we know is that hip-hop is dominating today, but it has been added on, as you said. It's not, it didn't eliminate anything. If anything, the great thing about what hip-hop does is it utilizes everything else before it and around it to even make it stronger because it continues to add those pieces to hip-hop, and we honor and respect those things. You know what I mean? As we
one more thing I want to say on that is one of the problems that young people have is they take possession sometimes of the culture that they are currently in, and it's very important for us as for the elders, I should say, to understand that it is our responsibility to let them know that rapping didn't just start. This music thing that you're going through, and that you are building off, you know, legacies that have been doing of and so it's not yours. It's just it's an elevation. That's all it is. Don't say it's my music and you can't listen. I had a kid tell me, this is my music. You can't listen to it. You're not supposed to be listening to it because this is mine. I told him, listen. And I told them, I said, look, this is music that is built on what we created when it was our time. So it's very important for the elders to understand that and not to allow the young people to take that as a possession.
Well, that's why we're getting ready to discuss Art Is Not a Crime and how people like to take possession of things, right? Let's move over here where we're going to talk about a little graffiti. What happened, my good friends, there was a place out in Queens. It was called Five Points. Five Points was a group of buildings and an area, I believe it was an industrial area, that was taken over by a number of graffiti artists over a 20-30-year process, and it was completely covered in graffiti and was a site that people who loved hip-hop would actually go out and see. To see all of the artists who had previously been there. A few years ago, it was destroyed. It was destroyed in, I believe, 2019. And there was a lawsuit that was brought by a number of graffiti artists who had frequented and done art there and who had installations there. They sued the city. I mean, they sued in a federal lawsuit. And they were seen by the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, concluded a judge was correct to award the damages. And the damages that they were awarded in 2020 was $6.7 million because they lost this space.
Right.
And they fought for what was really, in essence, this place was an opportunity to share the history of artists who may have passed away, artists who may not be in the business of the art anymore, but had put together incredible installations, as well as a place where I would assume the city or the state was able to say, hey, we can authorize you to go out and do your graffiti there, rather than, as people sometimes complain about it in other places, this was a place where you could go and it would be recognized as, you know, an opportunity for an artist to really grow themselves as a brand and as an artist in the space of graffiti. And so once again, art is not a crime. Art is not a crime. And when it's criminalized, especially when we talk about the hip-hop culture, which is a culture that, you know, is connected to black and brown people in lots of ways, it is important to remember that our history is also a history that includes graffiti. And this was only another way that it was established by this court, a federal court, that these people are to be recognized for what they do, because it's more than just some kind of eyesore. This is art.
Well, that begs to question this question, that sometimes graffiti can seem to destroy the appearance of neighborhoods. So how does that? Well, you're drawing on stuff, and you know, like it winds up making it look. It doesn't make the community look good.
It's embracing artists. That's a big thing. The thing is that a lot of the times we push back on things, and particularly when you're talking about graffiti, it's pushed back on because of its origin, again, in the black and brown communities. But yet and still, if you go down to One World Trade Center, there is a gigantic graffiti piece in the middle of the structure in the lobby. If you go into the subway, there are installations in the subway that are graffiti-based in terms of its art form. There are many places that graffiti is used as a form of art and beauty and not seen as an eyesore. And so once again, it's the narrative that is being spread out there that pushes whether or not someone looks at something as art or looks at it as being an eyesore.
Well, yeah, it's the narrative, but it's also the reality that, you know, like, you know, you can't just walk up and, you know, just start spray painting on the building. I think those pieces that you did represent as far as the One World Trade Center, there was permission that was given, and it was done in a certain space, and it was okayed, and everybody knew what it was. But, you know, just to go ahead and just spray paint on buildings, which winded up happening all over the city, that made the city really look bad. And they also, you know, and they also did art like that on trains, where, I mean, that was a big thing back in the, '90s and early 2000s, where they did that crazy thing on trains.
Well, let's also just admit, right, like, how many art programs existed inside of the schools that encouraged young people to go and paint on canvas? How many schools were available to them? How many of our schools, inside of our school systems, have music programs? They don't. And that's the reason why people step out and utilize what they have accessibility to. That is one of those things we discuss all the time about our communities. If you have an underserved, underappreciated community, I mean, the 1970s, when you talk about hip-hop growing, I mean, the Bronx, it was a war zone. It had essentially abandoned it and left people to fend for themselves. So people found ways to do things, man, that showed creativity. And then once they decided they wanted to go back into those communities and monopolize those spaces, build upon them and construct, then all of a sudden these people became problems. But that's the thing. Yet and still, you're a problem. But here we have, and, you know, we're about a couple of minutes out, I'll just mention this. This culture has been taken and utilized by companies and by individuals to create revenue for themselves all over the world. The same people who will turn around and say that it's garbage are the same people who are making billions of dollars off of the backs of these creatives. And so it is truly important to remember that this is a creative art form. This hip-hop culture is an art form that has spawned not only great art, but has created a stream of revenue that has helped many families over the last 50 years move themselves from impoverished neighborhoods and unacceptable conditions into positions where they can change the direction of their family's legacies for generations to come. And that's what we hope to bring
to
you here
to take
this experience. Without question, we have 1 minute left. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. 718-679. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Abdul Wali Saheed, Brooklyn, New York, gentlemen. Wow. I want to
Another artist.
I want to applaud you brothers, man, for this platform. And your fact checking and your historical context, you know, ability to put things in perspective, and it's very that's big by itself. You know what I mean? I'll pose a question like this. I heard you say about the elevation or the benefits of the hip hop culture, of the music genre, of the artists of today, and then being able to put bread on the table. I'll put it that way. I guess the question is, at what expense is this taking place, and how do you feel about things like I'll say one thing. I'll make my observation. It seems like it's not the same as back in the day when we used to have the when football, basketball, sports, and music and anything wasn't out for us, and it was a way of getting us out the hood. Now it seems like the music, in particularly, and even some sports figures, but the music and hip hop, particularly. It seems like it's not only perpetuates, or the people don't just use to get out of the hood, so to speak. It's to continue in some ways, and I guess they may be accentuating that more than not, drug culture, crime culture, the parties, all of that. So it's kind of like, you know, just the playground mentality, the toys, the trinkets, the merch, all that. And it's like, it doesn't seem like it seems like those material gain is the ticket right now. How do you feel about that as far as that in the uplifting of our people as a whole through music?
Yeah, I need a short answer now.
Yeah, brother, I appreciate you, and I'll answer that simply. We live in a capitalist society in which the narrative is controlled by big companies, and these artists are no exception. The same way that you can look at the basketball players, the young brother just made Jaylen Brown just got $304 million from the Celtics in Boston, one of the most racist places in this country, and yet and still he sat up there on that stage as a contributor to their team and them making money. He got that money, and it's helping his family, and it will help generations of his family. But also he sat there and he said, I'm going to try to create Black Wall Street here in one of the most impoverished neighborhoods or impoverished communities in the country. And that's a thing that I think all of us have to remember, as you talked about putting bread on the table, is that in the end, what this is all about is taking care of our families and making sure our families are doing well. We will have to deal with these challenges and these questions over the continued period of time as we grow. It's only been here 50 years, and we've done a whole lot. We still got a lot of work to do. So I agree with you, brother. There are challenges, but we're moving forward and dealing with them at the same time, benefiting and having an opportunity to take care of our families where we didn't before in the same way.
I appreciate that, man. Really,
thank you so very much. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for your kind words about the show as well. Really appreciate you. I hope you listen next Saturday. We'll be back again from 12 to 1. Spread the word to your friends and your family.
Inshallah, for sure,
there
man.
There you go.
All right,
my brother. Assalamu alaikum.
That is it.
All right.
Let me see. Next Saturday. Hey, but you know what? Next Saturday, you know, we might not do the show because or what we might have to do is just do the show from up in
we're going to be in Connecticut. Listen, don't forget.
Right, next Saturday,
I want everybody to remember.
Yeah.
Next Saturday, Brother Kareem will be performing. Next Saturday.
With
we will be performing.
With Kareem
Kwan and,
right,
and William P.
Dwyer.
We'll be there to support, you know what I'm saying, and one of the biggest joints, man, that I know all the brothers and sisters out there know when it comes down to my father, birds of a feather, let's make sure we're there to support the flowers and give each other flowers. Let's go.
Yes, sir. Inshallah. All right. Inshallah. Until next time, we appreciate you. Thank you, Wale.
Thank you, Wale.
Absolutely. Thank you, too, for all y'all, man.
All right.
I love you too, brother. Assalamu alaikum. All right, Bill, we'll talk.
All
thank
right.
you, ladies
thank
and gentlemen.
Thank you, man. You're doing an amazing
yes,
job, good sir, man, and we appreciate you. Thanks again to American Muslim 360 and to A New Day Community Radio. We're so thankful and proud to be a part of what you guys are doing. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Heard was a beginning process of the art of music in the culture. We've long wanted to understand or be connected so that we can understand what a younger generation has been faced with and how they're living through it. So the difficulty that they're living through, and perhaps I'm in this 70 age group, all right, so I'm on the outside of their group looking in, but we all have a relationship with this life. So how are we going to connect? Well, we have to connect. And there can be a benefit to all of us. We know that. So what we're striving to do here is present the best, the excellence, and have, as you heard the young man presenting, very knowledgeable of what he was presenting and why. And as we connect, William Kareem is the director, CWSC Director for Leadership Development Council and Internship. And so where he's entering through the door of the art of music in the cultural arena and how that has prompted a lot of vigor, if I may say that, in various communities. But we are striving to bring the excellence forward and let it be known that we can only value and credentialize ourselves as Almighty God has placed us on this planet in this life. And so as an individual myself, Martha Nyla, I don't want to assume anything and negate anything can be of a benefit to all of us or to a great number of us that need to understand the fullness of the life that we're living. So let's appreciate what we have and
move into the middle course of this life, inshallah, as Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, upon him be peace, has so exemplified. And then Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him, has so exemplified. And thank you for your listening at the beginning of this presentation. It started at 10 a.m., but because we're on with preparing to make it in the land of plenty, we give credence to that, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Then we merge over 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Cultural CWSC Cultural Insights. Right now that's the title. It may change, but nevertheless it will encompass Cultural Insights. So praise be to Almighty God. Thank you for being here. Now we're going to go out with a presentation. Let's see here. And we have to be thankful. But we want Sawat El-Amin, because she's going to be the one, she's the one that has incorporated the presentation for next weekend. Inshallah, as much as we can garner from Williams being there, he's performing. But perhaps he can have someone to be in connection with AM 360 so that those who can't make it can receive the benefit of what is being presented. All right? To a new day for Al-Islam on your computer, if you have access to the internet, a new day for Al-Islam, you'll see this weekend, this Saturday's presentation in its fullness. All right? If you go to CWSC and click on podcast for today, you will hear the beginning part of the second hour, which was about 11:30 when we actually got on to hear the interview of the Philadelphia intruders. All right, Sawat El-Amin Shahada.
God is so true. Yeah, I hear y'all out there.
All right, and then we go to Wali. Ali, he will be performing as well next weekend. And Wali, you've heard Fearing Thee and let's see, Allah is the mighty.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, 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 man. Ah, yeah, oh,
shine in the sky? Who made the moon appear in the night? Who made the stars like a twinkling of an eye? Who made these things for us to rotate to the right? Allah, oh Allah, Almighty Allah, oh yeah.
Better say it again, say it again. They were talking about
Allah.
You may not know me, but
body business.
You know it's been said that you cannot truly have faith until you want for your brother or your sister as you want for yourself.
Amen. When you see what you see, knowing that it shouldn't be, do you just walk on by with your head held high?
Everybody's business, and we pray that we all understand. We know that where we live, there's always someone in need. But the approach is not just to feed someone, clothe them, or shelter them. Help them with their immediate concerns, but then help teach them to reach within the depth of themselves and feel the need to help someone else. So whatever it takes for them to bring themselves to that level of cleaning themselves up willingly and then seeing someone else teach one, reach one, however it goes. I believe you get the picture. So we've got to be thankful for where we are, what we have, and then use it to benefit ourselves and others in the eyes, in the sight of Allah. So say sight, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all seeing, all hearing, all knowing, all wise. Excuse me, and more. Here we've got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, seal of prayer, Ben's fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs. Door by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years earlier, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
do the best that I can, try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and little helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be
grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, the stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a lives down the street who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He said, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and I think my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can, try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
You gotta be thankful.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors, and I say the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere. And our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright. They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong. And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful. They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life for the warm rays of sunshine. Stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful.
Here we are now approaching here on the East Coast in Florida. We're approaching for the prayer time, so we're going to go out with the Adhan. Thank you so very much for being right here. And this is Abdul Wali Shaheed, Imam Abdul Wali Shaheed, the music you heard from Humanity. Inshallah, we're bringing this on from a new day from Al-Islam. So stay, bear with us here as we share this with you.
Shall I have
All right, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please intend to be here at 5 p.m. today as Al-Islam in Focus with the Preeta Hadi. He's the director of the Model CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory. We look forward to being with her this afternoon from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Inshallah, God willing. Thank you once again. Assalamu alaikum.